From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a privilege to be in studio. I couldn't be here if it wasn't for many of you who stand with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, and for that I'm deeply grateful. Of course, we live in tumultuous times, and when principles of the times run against our deepest conviction, battle is our calling, peace has become sin, we must, at the price of dearest peace, lay our convictions bare before friend and enemy alike with all the fervor of our faith, or as Abram Kuyper said, with all the fire of our faith. And that is why I'm so grateful for those who are standing with me in the battle for life and truth. It makes a difference in the lives of people worldwide. Our ministries circle the globe, quite frankly, not only through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, what we do through the Christian Research Institute, through our journal, through the website, and so much more. We do face daunting challenges in this world, but we have great opportunities. Technology has opened the door for those opportunities, and this is the time to seize them. We can make a transformational difference. Kingdoms come and go, but the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ is eternal, and our investments in that kingdom will yield eternal treasure. Remember, a handful of disciples empowered by the Spirit turned the world right side up, and you and I can do the same. We can make a difference. There's always the truth of the power of one. One empowered by the Spirit can stand against the multitude. So for those of you who are supporting the ministry, please accept my deepest gratitude for your partnership and the difference it makes in so many lives, and especially for all that your support means in these final days of 2015. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants on the web at 888-7000. And the letters CRI, so many hanging on. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up is James. He's listening in New York, New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your ministry, and I want to thank you for the work you're doing for the body of believers. Our question is on Revelation 19 and 20. What does the Bible say about will any Christians take the mark, or can you tell me something about how Satan is going to try to deceive the masses with that mark?
Well, I think what you have to remember is that on the basis of the book of Revelation, the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, just as the mark of the beast identifies identity with the beast. And so we're already marked out. You have a mark as I have a mark. That does not mean we have a visible mark, although I happen to have a little mark on my forehead right now because I had a little operation on my forehead. But it doesn't mean that we have a physical mark. It means that what we do in our worldview identifies us in terms of who we belong to. And that is true both for believers or unbelievers. And thus, whether you had a mark or not, people would know whether you're a follower of Christ. You think about what's happening right now in Syria, where you had, I think it was 6 women and 2 men who were demanded to convert to Islam. They refused, and what happened? They were killed. No one had to wonder whether they were Christians or not because they refused to convert to Islam. They stayed true to the cause of Christ, and as a result of that, they were, in case of the women, raped and then brutally killed. The men were crucified. In fact, one man had to watch as his son, I think he was 12 years old, had his fingertips cut off so that the agony of the son would cause him to renounce the name of Christ, and he did not. So again, his actions and his worldview identified him as belonging to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Mark of the Beast is not a physical mark. It is the mark of what you do and your worldview. You're welcome. And remember that I give that answer with all due respect to those who would disagree, not on the basis of my own opinion, which has very little value, but rather my opinion is based clearly on testing Scripture or reading Scripture in light of Scripture. There's an entry that I wrote on that in my book, in bookstores right now, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, is a section on this very question. Also, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, both of those resources available through the ministry. And for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend this Christmas season. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dalton. He's listening in Sherwood Park, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Dalton.
Hey, Hank. I have a couple of atheists I've been online with, and they're kind of belligerent. One of them, which I can't refute his logic by myself, I need to ask you the question here, asked me, or rather insulted me by saying, you'd rather believe in something that's false just because it gives you hope and comfort. What a sad, sad person you are. Can you give me some input there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that with all due respect, he sadly mistakes reality. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, which is to say that if you live in the universe, you know there has to be a universe maker. If you are stumbling down a path on a deserted island and found a basketball, you wouldn't say that basketball just came out of thin air. You would immediately suppose that the intricacies of a basketball presuppose a basketball maker. And that is true with something far more complex as well, and that is the universe in which we reside. So God's eternal power, divine nature seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. And by the way, not only do we believe because there's this outer testimony, but we also believe because there's an inner testimony, which is to say we have the light of conscience. God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of your consciousness. And logically, every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So you're not believing vainly. You're believing because all of the evidence points in the direction of an uncaused first cause.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I totally agree with your, you know, have to, if you're in a universe, you probably will believe in the universe maker because of the intricacies of it. It does not make sense to me when I look at the evidence and points to how complex and how unlikely it is something that can, that's this complex can come out of just thin air.
Sure. And the other thing that you may want to say, particularly this time of the year when people are more open or at least aware of the fact that we are celebrating the incarnation, Christ coming in flesh, the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. And that is to say that Christ has come and he has resurrected himself from the dead. The evidence for that is overwhelming. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul makes a four-part argument that Christ died, he suffered fatal torment, that he appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. You know, Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ.
And that on there too.
Yeah, and that Jesus Christ, through his resurrection, transformed scared, scattered disciples. Now, it's conceivable that someone will die for what they sincerely believe to be true. But it is inconceivable that thousands upon thousands would voluntarily die for what they know to be a lie. When the sword is unfurled, you might well say, I was just kidding. So there are those who witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his post-resurrection appearances. And when you think about James, a classic example, he was the brother of Jesus. And he was embarrassed by everything Jesus stood for. Then Jesus appeared to him. And what did James say? He called himself a bondservant of Christ. He became the leader of the Jerusalem church and eventually was martyred for his faith. I always say this. You have to ask yourself what it would take for someone to willingly die for the notion that one of his family members is God. Only the resurrection of Jesus Christ can account for that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. And of course, the atheist is using a tactic. He's exerting sneer pressure rather than giving an argument. But his expression of accusing someone of believing, as Christians do solely because of the comfort they receive, can be said of his worldview as well. He does not want God to exist, and so he takes comfort in his belief in atheism. So the sword cuts both ways. Remember what Jesus said, light came into dark because men loved the dark rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. And in saying that, Jesus made plain that the problem is never that there's not enough light. The problem is that men love darkness. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chad. He's listening in El Dorado Hills, California, on the web. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my phone call. Me and my wife got to see you in Sacramento a couple weeks ago, and we really appreciated you out there. I watched you by memory say Proverbs 3 all the way through. It was incredible. So we really appreciate you and all that you do. So
thank you.
My question is it's a simple question, but I just want to hear your answer. Why are there more than just Christianity as a religion? I guess what I'm asking is, if there was, I understand why there's unbelievers and why I'm a believer, but why are there other religions out there?
Well, you know, Paul answered that question when he said, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. So that is one of the answers. But remember that in essence, in macro categories, there are only two kinds of belief systems. One is a belief that you can reach up and become acceptable to God by living a good life, by obeying the Ten Commandments, by going around and around through many different lives until finally you become one with Nirvana or one with the universe. I mean, they're all man's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to a higher power or to God. Christianity is precisely in the opposite direction. It is not us reaching up, but God reaching down. And he has reached down to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is the personification of divine love. He is the personification of God. All the fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form. And so the religion, if you will, based on Jesus Christ, is a religion that has substance, it's rooted in reality, and it makes complete sense, which is to say it corresponds to reality. Again, if you want to look in categories, what do we have? Well, you can have pantheism, which says all is God, God is all. You can have philosophical naturalism, which says that nothing creates everything. Non-life creates life, and the non-life that creates life ends up producing not only life in a physical sense, but life in a metaphysical sense as well. And then there is also, along with philosophical naturalism, you have this idea that is codified in man directing everything according to the dictates of his own will. I think probably the better way of saying that would be that there is pantheism, there's philosophical naturalism, and then there's Christian theism. So there are only three large categories in that sense. Unfortunately, we're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Be right back with more answers. Please stay tuned for that.
Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. Why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. equip.org. Christians agree that life and truth are important, but have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Elwood listening in Wichita, Kansas, on Bot Radio. Hi, Elwood.
Hello, Hank. I had a question about Mark 14 and the man that is after they all forsook him, 14:51, and there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And I was wondering who he might have been. Is it possible he could have been Lazarus, as I read in the it says it's probable in this companion Bible I found.
Well, I think there are a number of possibilities. I that would be pretty low on my list. Let me say that some teach that this was James, the brother of our Lord. Others teach that this was John, because I'm talking here about the youngest of the 12. But I think most believe that this was Mark, who is the author of this very gospel. And it is a common literary device for a writer not to give his own name. And I would look at one other thing, and that is that the other evangelists don't report the incident. Only Mark reports the incident. And you have to ask yourself why. I don't think they would have been inclined to humiliate Mark, whereas Mark would have been more likely to relate this kind of an event concerning himself. But again, do I know absolutely? The answer is no. This would be my best guess.
Wouldn't be Mark?
That it's Mark, yes.
Okay. I'll try to research it a little further. Are there any Bible references, scriptural references that you know of that you could help me out with at all?
On this question?
Yes.
Well, no, just what I told you. I mean, there's a matter of deduction. It is thinking about the literary devices that are used in Scripture, and then I think the strongest case is what I made at the end of my remarks to you, and that is you don't find this report in the other Gospels, in that the other Gospel writers would have been disinclined to humiliate Mark, whereas Mark would be more inclined to relate this about himself in the way that he did. So that's why I think it's Mark, but I don't know for sure.
I tend to totally agree with you, almost totally agree with you. Yes, I hope you have a very special Christmas season this year.
Thank you. Bless you.
I enjoy your show very much. I listen to you every evening if I can, and it's usually every evening. I really don't like to miss your show.
Thank you, Elwood.
Thank you very much. I'll call you again before long.
God bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Cameron, listening in Edmonds, Oklahoma. Bot Radio. Hi, Cameron.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm actually listened to you recently here. I started having an hour drive from work, and I found you on the Bot Radio station, and didn't realize that once I'd heard it, I used to hear my dad listen to the same station.
Oh, wow.
Years ago. So I'm a new father. I'm 29 years old. I just brought a new daughter into the world, or my wife did, a couple weeks ago. And I'm calling really just needing help in the area of, I've been a Christian for, I guess, about 10 years now. But for as long as I can remember, I've also dealt with pornography, and I never knew the hold that it would really get on me as life has continued. And I'm ashamed to say that I can't think of a time in my life that I've truly known purity in that area, seasons, but never seem to have been able to escape it. I feel strongly and confidently in my heart that I am saved. I do feel God's grace in my life that I wouldn't otherwise be able to have. And I'm really calling to ask for help. I read scripture, not as much as I should anymore these days, but I feel too often like a hypocrite because I just can't seem to escape this in my life. And I do know that Paul talks about a thorn, but I can't help but think that this is not something God means for me to have in my life in any manner. But I also don't, I can't say how to escape it either. I'm seeking help. I want to be a leader to my daughter, and I feel I can't do that effectively with this in my life.
Well, Cameron, I'm very moved by your remorse. I'm very moved by your very candid communication. There's no obfuscating. It is a direct recognition of what you were engaged in as sin. And of course, there are many others like you. Their lives are being ruined by sexual sin. It is the kind of sin that corrupts, infects, it devastates. You know all of that. And it can destroy relationships and families. And I'm particularly touched by what you said about wanting to be a father to your daughter in a proper sense. And so you're asking a question that has enormous impact, not only for your life, but for the lives of many others. You also correctly talk about witness to the world and the fact that this is something that in many ways puts restrictions on faithful witness. And so what I can tell you is that this is not a magic bullet kind of answer that I can give you. This is not a cheap kind of solution. Pray a quick prayer and the problem is over. As you've pointed out, this is the kind of sin that coils around you and puts you in a condition that's hard to escape from. A good friend of mine wrote a book on this, and I don't offer this to you as just a way of quickly answering your question and going on, but rather as a way of giving you a comprehensive, not just soundbite, but game plan. Many years ago, I talked to Joe Dallas about this. I don't know of anyone that understands this circumstance more intimately and from practical experience than Joe Dallas. And because he has such a great biblical understanding and years of counseling practice in this area, I encouraged him to write a book. And I told him if he wrote the book, I would work even with communication with a publisher. I'd do a endorsement. I would do anything that I could for him. Anyway, he wrote this book called The Game Plan, which is absolutely fantastic. It's actually subtitled The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. And what I say on the back cover of this book is that no one, and I mean no one, understands that subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for Christians like you committed to reclaiming moral purity. And therefore, I think it's a resource that you absolutely have to have. And whether you can afford it or not afford it, I don't know, but I would be pleased just delighted, overjoyed to send it to you as my gift.
I would definitely be willing to put the time into it.
Yeah, and that's really what I was going to add. I mean, I can send it as a gift. You have to put the time into it, and that's exactly what this entails. But what I like about this, it has some very, very meaty material, but also direct, clear, concise, and it puts parameters around your life, and there's an end game. In other words, this is not something that has to go on for years and years and years, but this is a 30-day strategy. And I don't, as I said, think that there are any cheap or easy solutions to this, but this I've gone through, I hardly endorse, and I've seen to be effective in the lives of many people.
What would you need from me so that...
Absolutely nothing. Just stay on, and I'll get the book out to you.
Okay. If I can ask just one more question.
Sure.
Because I've known, I know the power that this has had in my life and in others' lives. As I assume that there's probably still other listeners, my second question is really for prayer in the matter, both even with resources. I can't do this by myself in any manner, and I'm asking for prayer, both to be the father that I want to be and that God means for me to be, and really hoping for freedom from this as well.
Yeah, well, let me pray for you right now. And Cameron, recognize that there will be a lot of people that are listening in that will pray for you. They won't know you other than an electronic call, but they will be praying for you. Lord Jesus Christ, even though we're separated by miles, we come together with unity of heart and total trust in you. And Lord, today I bring Cameron before your throne of grace. What a great example of faith in the midst of the storm, a recognition of sin, a willingness to turn from it with your help, to make you Lord over this area of his life. Lord, I pray that his passionate plea would be answered, that he might be a father to his daughter in a way that edifies and builds her up in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I pray that he would be an honorable husband to his wife, and that even through the midst of this storm, reconciliation might take place that supersedes even our wildest imaginations. And Lord, I pray that he would be an enduring testimony to your grace. And Lord, looking into the future, even thinking about what could come out of this, beauty out of ashes, where he could be used by you in the lives of yet other men. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for your Spirit to anoint this moment. Lord, for the practical steps laid out in this book to become a living reality in Cameron's life. And Lord, as always, we pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in the precious name of our Savior and Lord, who has come to give us life that is life to the full. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you, Cameron. Hang on. We'll get the book out to you.
Thank you.
And remember, there'll be a lot of people praying for you, and God will answer those prayers.
Thank you.
God bless you. Coming up to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. I know that the prayer and the discussion is not only appropriate for Cameron, but is appropriate for many others listening in. We pray for God's grace in the lives of those who are, in fact, trapped in this insidious web. It's so easy to be pulled into. And I do pray for others that are dabbling, that they recognize that to dabble is dangerous. To just stay away, or to learn how to have accountability within the context of the body of Christ. Again, we are coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Do remember that this broadcast is made possible by listeners just like you. You can join the monthly CRI support team online at equip.org/donate. Back in a moment with more answers.
CRI has partnered with iDonate in order to maximize your non-cash donations like old cell phones, laptops, stock shares, cars, and jewelry. With this partnership, you can donate these items to iDonate, get the appropriate tax write-off, and fund the ongoing ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. For some of us, our wealth is not measured in cash, but by what we have invested in various items. Learn how you can donate these old items and support the ministry outreaches of CRI by going to equip.org/iDonate. That's equip.org/iDonate. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Have you considered in your Christmas shopping list what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special Christmas gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our telephone callers as well. Next up is Ryan listening in Nebraska. Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
So I got a question about Satan, actually. So my question is, if God created everything, and I believe he did, but if God created everything and he knows everything, why or how did he create Satan if he knew he was going to be evil?
Sure, and that's a very, very good question. And remember in answering that question that God created the potential for evil because he created beings, both angelic beings and human beings, with freedom of choice, with volition. And the angels, just like human beings, actualized evil by their choices. And that's why we have fallen angels as well as those who are not fallen. So the reality is that evil came into this world because if God had not created the potential for evil, then he would also have created a world in which love was impossible, because love is always conditioned on volition. You have to have the will to love. If love is nothing other than coercion, it is not love at all.
Okay. All right. So basically what you're saying is, so God did create evil.
No, he didn't create evil. He created the potential for evil. The operative word is potential.
Okay.
Human beings actualize that evil by their choices, but had they not had volition or choice, then love would be rendered meaningless.
Okay. So evil was unbeknownst, but it was just a possibility, I guess.
It was a possibility, yes. And it's just like I could hear in the background, you it sounds like you have a child. And when when you had that child, congratulations, but when you had that child, you knew that there would be the potential of all kinds of horrendous evils happening to that child, because that child is being born into a fallen world. You also knew that that child one day would die, and yet you chose to have that child. Because it is better to love and lose, actually, in the macro sense, than never to love at all. And so you brought a child into that world so you could nurture and love that child. And you also realize that that child has the possibility for the best of all possible worlds, a world in which your child is forever able not to sin. And that's what we look forward to, because not only is there a fall, but there is also a redemption. Not only is there a first Adam, but there is a second Adam or a last Adam. And so we can be found in that last Adam. And if we are, then we'll be in a circumstance where there is no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, as Revelation puts it, because the old order has passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, bless you, and thank you for calling, and pray that God is going to bless your family.
Thank you so much.
You got it, Ryan. Call me anytime. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gladys next. She's listening in Chicago, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Gladys.
Hi there. I really enjoy your ministry. I thank God for it.
Oh, thank you.
My question to you today has to do with the Jesus saying that he wants his believers to be the salt and light of the earth. And when he put in that the salt, if it loses its savor, he put that in. And if the light is dimmed, is that a reflection of losing your testimony?
Losing our testimony?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. And you're right to say that Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And then went on to say, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and then put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So I think you've rightly pointed out that your testimony is diminished when you lose your saltiness or when you take your light and hide it. And that can be done in a lot of different ways. But what we are called to do is let our light shine forth, and we're called to be a preservative in the culture, which salt would be in meat, and certainly they would have understood that in ancient times. This is still true today. We are a preservative in the same sense in the culture.
So how would a believer lose their savor? What would they need to do to diminish that light?
Well, you can do it in a lot of different ways. Remember that it is not just the words you speak. Christianity is not simply a mental head fake. What Christianity is a life. And so we need to testify not only by our lips, but also by our love and by the life that we lead, because people are watching how we lead our lives, how we conduct ourselves within culture, and based on that, there is a testimony to the world. But if the testimony to the world is that we are like the world, except for our testimony given by our words, then there's no saltiness there whatsoever. They say, wow, you know, you say you're a Christian, but I don't see anything different whatsoever about your life than mine. You conduct yourself in exactly the same way. So for you, it has to be nothing more than intellectual head fake, right? So at one point, you might have believed in the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism, but now you believe in the Four Spiritual Laws of Christianity. You've gone from one intellectual belief to another. But Christianity is a whole lot more than that. It is a life. It is the engrafted life of Jesus Christ. And when people see that, they see light, they see salt, and they live and they are preserved.
So if you lose that saltiness, it's not a preservative anymore. So you can't make it salty again. So what is the implication there?
Well, I don't think that you can make the words here in terms of analogy walk on all fours. The point is simply that we are called to be not microcosms of the world, but change agents in the world. And if we are nothing but mere microcosms of the world, we were never salt to begin with.
I see. Okay, so that goes back to the question is, are you really saved?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who have a said faith as opposed to a real faith. And so again, from their perspective, all they had to do was follow a formula, pray a particular prayer in a particular way, and they're in. They now have an insurance policy that keeps them out of a bad place and gets them into a good place. But Christianity is far more than that. Christ not only came to save us by his death, but he came to save us into or unto his life. He has come that we might have life and life to the full, and that is what it means to live the engrafted life. We have died. It is Christ that now lives within us.
Okay, thank you. I also want to say that Cameron, his transparency, I felt that, and so I will be lifting him up in prayer as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. That was my prayer, even as I was praying, that there would be people like you that would join in praying for Cameron so that he might have victory.
Yes, thank you, Hank.
Bless you, Gladys. Back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Brad in Modesto, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Brad.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I have a question. First of all, I heard somebody tell me, I guess it's a two question, but that we will the saints will judge the angels. Is that in Scripture?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe. Christians
okay,
will
I'll
judge angels. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'll look that up and read it in its context, 1 Corinthians 6. And then another thing I was wondering, and I read your book, Apocalypse Code, and that cleared a lot of things up for me. So I was wondering when John says that he saw the heavens like meet the earth or heaven coming out of the clouds and meet the earth, was that related to judgment? Was that a judgment type of deal like for the heavens?
No, not at all.
What
John says is, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then he heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And this speaks to two things. One is that there is going to be a perfected bride, and that perfected bride will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. It also speaks to the reality that the universe that now groans in travail is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay. And that's why John says later on in that same context that there's going to be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Why? Because the old order of things has passed away. And then he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new, and then told John, write it down. You can trust these words. They're trustworthy and true. So this is about the eternal state, the perfected bride, and the new Jerusalem. And ultimately, if you continue going through Revelation chapter 21, you see that bride is symbolized as a city. And the reason we know that is not only from what I quoted previously, but also later on in that same passage, John says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And of course, that is the church, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. But he also shows us the river of the water of life as clear as crystal in Revelation chapter 22, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. So this is a picture of the renewed universe in which we will live forever. God himself will provide the light. So there's no need for the sun. There's no need for the moon. God himself will give them light, and then we will reign forever and ever with a resurrected Christ in a renewed universe.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it and appreciate your time and everything you do. So God bless you and all that are yours.
Thank you, Brad. God bless you as well, and God's blessings to everyone listening in. I am deeply appreciative to those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. There are so many things I'm doing right now. I'm writing on Islam. I feel like I need to be out this time of the year raising resources so the ministry can continue, but I also feel that I can leave that in the hands of the Holy Spirit, just let you know what the need is, and continue working. I'm working around the clock, and so are the staff members at the Christian Research Institute, so that we can be salt and light, that we can be a lamp not hidden by a bowl, but a lamp that shines out so that the world might see the light of Jesus Christ. Again, my deep appreciation for all those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, and my invitation to those that do not yet stand with us prayerfully and financially to consider doing that. It would be deeply appreciated, your resources used for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Resource consultants, as always, standing by 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. For if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. This then is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the ultimate self-revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.